It seems appropriate that I hand over the tradition of legal issues in the news this particular week, the week my youngest son turns 14. When I started this run, Matthew was only 2 years old. And even though I've researched and written about some very important things over the past decade plus, as I look back, for me, those essays about my sons and our family life are the most memorable. For example, Matthew may be 14 now, but he was a very sleepy toddler when we stood outside the United States Senate chambers. We were in Washington, D.C. for a conference, and I'd somehow managed to talk my way into an elevator that was reserved for Senate staff into a waiting area reserved for Senate staff. This was 2 years before the 9/11 terrorist attacks, so security willingly looked the other way, even though it was obvious that the woman with the two young boys really didn't belong. Not only that, but it was a police officer who led my older son, Michael, into the Senate chambers, even though Michael didn't have an admission ticket and was too young by Senate rules. That day, Michael was inside the U.S. Senate when Chief Justice Rehnquist announced that William Jefferson Clinton would remain president despite the House impeachment vote, and Matthew was just outside the chambers, sleeping on my shoulder. You'd think that close-up impeachment experience would cause a kid to reject any notion of politics as a career, and at this point at least, you'd be right. Besides, it all might be moot for one of my sons. Michael was born in the Netherlands, and given his birth on foreign soil, it's not clear that he'd ever be able to become president of the United States. There's no quick answer, because language in the Constitution requires interpretation should anyone born off U.S. soil be elected. And a third example has political overtones as well. When I lived in Washington, D.C., I'd often walk along a path in a park near my home with my husband, and we often found pennies in the dirt. I was certain that they were placed there in spirit by my beloved grandma, who would give me a penny for each hand before I left her house when I was a little girl. Then I found out that it was along that same path that a U.S. spy shared secrets with the Soviet Union and received money in exchange. Could the pennies have been some sort of marker for illicit activity? Probably not, because when we took our sons to the path after the story of the spy broke, and long after any money had been exchanged, we found more pennies in the dirt. I have a photo taken that day, the day, more or less, our kids found pennies for each hand. What this shows is that even though law is memorable, family experience is what I best remember. Sure, that's sappy, but I'm feeling a little sappy these days as I say goodbye. I'm leaving to join the law faculty at Tulane University. We're moving to New Orleans, so this is goodbye in more ways than one. I looked at the title of this essay, Legal Issues Goodbye, as my laptop saved it, and a bit of sadness came over me. I'll miss writing these essays, I'll miss the people who've been so kind to me over the past 11 years, and I'll miss trying my best to link up the law with others' headlining life experiences and with my own family life. Thanks for listening, and happy birthday, Matthew. I'm Amy Guida.